I was paid to put on a killer show.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday. It is, of course, February 24th, 2022, and we are doing yet another edition of the very interesting show. And before we jump right into it, I'd like to once again, it seems like I am doing this fairly often, but issue a formal apology to everybody, and this time to Johnny Horndog, because I can't really see you over there. And the reason for that is because I was spending a lot of time before the show started, you know, gathering all of the info about the conflict that's going on in Ukraine that we're going to go over in this first segment. We will keep you, of course, up to date and well informed on everything that is going on. And I'll give you all the facts, all the data that's come out so far, and then we'll kind of just chat about it a little bit. And that'll pretty much take up the first half of the show. But we have a lot to get to as well today, including, but not limited to, the finale of season one of Let's Play a Game Show, where we will crown a winner tonight. One of you, Justin, Johnny Horndog, will take home the grand prize for season one, and then we will probably shelf the game show for the month of March due to some stuff that we'll talk about at the end of the show. We'll give you guys a little bit of an update as to what's coming up in March, and then we'll start season two off with a bang, and we will conclude the show with Reach for the Skies. So I want to just jump right into this because, of course, the news broke last night that we are in full-scale war, ladies and gentlemen. That is essentially what has happened here. Of course, last night, breaking in the wee hours of the night, I tried to do a brief live stream as all of this stuff was breaking. But honestly, the amount of info that I had coming in at the time was just, it was too much to kind of sort through. And so today, as I basically have spent the entire day just glued to everything that has been going on. And so a couple of brief updates. I'll kind of info dump this for a few minutes, and then we'll open the floor to kind of chat about it for a bit. But the latest numbers, we have not had any new numbers so far, but upwards of 137 Ukrainians have been killed. More than 300 have been injured. 160 missiles have been launched by Russia as Russia invades essentially all from all sides of the Ukraine. And I'll show you the map that we have here of all of the areas that have been targeted so far. Now, of course, most of them are in the central area of the capital, Kyiv. And of course, President Zelensky has decided to remain in Kyiv, him and his family both, despite intelligence that at 3 a.m. their time. And again, these are some unconfirmed reports as well.
Probably some Cold War bunkers that they're hiding in or have access to.
I would hope so. Now, the civilians also, I want to bring up some a couple of images here and some videos if I can find them as well, because some of the imagery that's going on of Ukrainian citizens being trapped, not necessarily trapped, but they're about as good as trapped down there in their subway system. I'm going to see if I can, I've got just so much information in front of me. I'm going to try and sort through all of this as best as I can and kind of get to it as it falls. But there are reports of people being just trapped inside the subway system. Like here's one picture of what the subway system looks like down there, of all of the people that are taking shelter between the possible missile attacks that could happen. And of course, I do want to talk about some unconfirmed reports that have come out from both the U.S. and Ukrainian intelligence that supposedly there was going to be a missile strike from Russia on the capital of Kyiv at 3 a.m. their time, which was 8 p.m. our time, because they're 7 hours ahead of us. Now, one of the reasons that it's gone a little bit quiet is supposedly Russia is not very happy with the progress that they made today. They thought that they would be making a lot more progress. They ran into a lot more resistance, despite the fact that as of earlier this afternoon, Ukrainian air defenses have been effectively eliminated. There are cyber attacks that are occurring between the two parties. Ukraine, President Zelensky in particular, has called on cyber criminals, like anonymous type people from the Ukraine, to, hey, come on, help us out here. We kind of need it. And
all
that's
hands on deck.
That's going on too. Of course, President Biden made a statement today as well, where he indicated very harsh sanctions that are being enacted against Russia. Here is President Biden today when asked about the possibility of, and I didn't know, and I still don't know what this could possibly mean, but supposedly you can sanction President Putin himself. And he was asked a question about that in his press conference today about the possibility of doing that. And President Biden was fairly dodgy on some of the answers that he gave today, including offering no comment on China. And to jump into this really quickly here before we get to President Biden, there are reports of 9 Chinese aircraft. Let me see if I can get to if I can find this again. But supposedly 9 Chinese military aircraft have made their way into Taiwan, according to Taiwan's defense industry. They've entered their air defense identification zone just hours after Russia launched an invasion into Ukraine. This seems fairly unprecedented, and it makes you think that, you know, the relationship between Ukraine and Russia is not entirely dissimilar to the relationship between China and Taiwan. And the question that I asked, particularly on the live stream last night and the two Simulation Radio Live shows that we did this week, was, okay, now we keep our eye on China. What does China really do here? Because this parallels what is going on in Taiwan, too. And it's fairly clear that it seems like China is starting to make its move as well. And I'm not going to lie, it's just scary stuff, man, to hear and see all of the footage of this war, which happens to be the first war that has been fought, really, like the first major war that has been fought in the era of social media. And you can tell that from this first war on social media, TikTok.
Снимаю, братуха! Бля, чуть-чуть высоковато, ёбаный урод.
Great all time. I mean, I've done the same thing, jumping out of the plane, but not into a war zone.
Well, so they are. I'm not going to say that they're having a good time, but you know it. It's interesting because the official Ukraine account today, of course, they want a little bit of engagement too. And this sounds somewhat petty, but at the same time, this is just how things are, man. Now, Twitter, or Ukraine, called on Twitter to suspend the official Russia account, and one of their tweets with 109,000 likes saying, tag at Russia and tell them what you think about them. So not only is war going on the ground, but there's also war going on social media as well. And of course, that's
just, it's just replaced airdropping propaganda. Now it's just electronic propaganda.
That seems to be what's going on here. I mean, after all, this is, as I said earlier, the first like major war event that we've had that has been broadcast on social media. Now, I want to get back to President Biden today, who had a comment regarding the possibility and what the overall meaning of the sanctions would be, if I can get back to it. All right, here we go. So I want to get back to President Biden, who was asked about the possibility of directly sanctioning Vladimir Putin himself, which, I'm not going to lie, I don't really know what this means, but apparently that was a possibility and as not something that is being considered by President Biden right now.
Thank you, President Biden. If sanctions cannot stop President Putin, what penalty can?
I didn't say sanctions couldn't stop him.
You've been talking about the threat of these sanctions for several
weeks. They can't stop
him.
Yes, but the threat of the sanctions and imposing the sanctions and seeing the effect of the sanctions are two different things. Okay, are two different things.
What?
We're now going to, he's going to begin to see the effect of the sanctions.
And what will that do? How will that change his mindset here, given he's attacking Ukraine?
Because it will so weaken his country that he'll have to make a very, very difficult choice as to whether to continue to move toward being a second-rate power or, in fact, respond.
So here's the thing about that, is that Vladimir Putin is clearly not afraid of sanctions. It's not like he didn't know that this was going to happen when he started the invasion. He clearly has some kind of a plan in mind here.
He definitely talked about this in one of his press conferences that he had. That when before all of this, like when this was all starting to really, really heat up in the recent weeks, he was, well, not necessarily directly about sanctions, but he talked about like that. How he feels that Ukraine is a historically Russian land, and
the writing was on the wall.
It belongs to Russia,
mm-hmm.
And he even said something that if the West, talking about the U.S., takes any action, military type action, that I was kind of paraphrasing, but basically that he would that the world would see. Destruction of, you know, it's that it has never seen before, kind of alluding to, you know, the nuclear capabilities that they have potentially, but they also like they have pretty much everything that the U.S. has as far as military capabilities go. Like there's a few other things that we have, sure, but they can definitely hold their own against us, and that's where it's real troublesome in trying to be political with trying to talk and reason with someone that just doesn't care.
Yeah, he clearly cannot be reasoned with at this point. He is on his warpath. He is ready to go. He had he initiated the attack on Snake Island today, which is this little island that's kind of off the northern coast of the Ukraine. It has no strategic value, apparently, in the conflict at all. And 13 were dead. They did not surrender. They fought to the death, and they are being posthumously awarded as the Ukrainian Medal of Honor. And so this is one of the examples that, you know, we're kind of dealing with the psycho here in Vladimir Putin. Like, this place had no strategic value, but they decided that, you know, we're going to go after it anyway because we've got to send a message of brute force, and this is just what we're going to do here. So let's continue hearing from President Biden.
You said in recent weeks that big nations cannot bluff when it comes to something like this. You recently said that the idea of personally sanctioning President Putin was on the table.
This is what
is
I have a question
Is that a step
about.
That you're prepared to take? And if not...
It's not a bluff. It's on the table.
Sanctioning President Putin?
Yes.
Why not sanction him today, sir? Mr. President? Why not sanction him today, sir?
He does. He just points right over to the
President,
next person.
If I can, you detailed some severe and swift news.
So he goes immediately to the next question without answering whether or not he would personally sanction Vladimir Putin today, which is a thing that I have an issue with, by the way. So if anybody knows a little bit more about this, then be sure to leave a comment in the YouTube video or tag us on social media. It is at Simulation Radio, and let me know if you know anything more about this. But what is the difference between a personal sanction like on Vladimir Putin? Would they be personally freezing his assets potentially, or how exactly would that work? And how would that not have been something that we would have been doing already? So that's, I don't know. I'm not saying, again, I'm really not saying that I'm an expert in any of this stuff. I'm just going with what we're seeing here. Additionally, another thing that happened today was the takeover of Chernobyl by Russian forces. And to give a little bit of a background, if anybody doesn't or is not aware, that is where the nuclear disaster occurred. It was it in the 80s or was it in the 90s? It was, I don't remember exactly, but that land is essentially entirely desolate, and they've built like a concrete barrier around it so that all of the infected and contaminated areas cannot really seep out into the outside world. It's in the northern Ukraine area, and there was a conflict over it today. There are some unconfirmed reports. I'll go with these anyway. I'll run with these anyway, despite the fact that they're unconfirmed, as long as you guys know that they are also unconfirmed. But reports that there is currently a hostage situation that is occurring there between Russian military forces and the staff members of the Chernobyl plant. And another unfortunate key scientific aftermath piece that is occurring from that is increased levels of radiation around the area. That's another thing that's a little bit, or that's slightly unconfirmed, and I cannot guarantee its authenticity, which is another thing that happens in how chaotic this whole war conflict is, which is that there's going to be a lot of information flying around, and there might be well-intentioned people that report what they think could be accurate that may not end up being the complete picture. That's just the nature of the reporting business right now. And so this is just the best that we can really do without, you know, necessarily having people on the ground that represent our organization. So, you know,
we got to get the intern out there.
Yeah, we'll just fly him out there. We'll get him on the ground. We'll give him a call at it's 3 a.m. their time. Well, it's like,
sorry, we'll hit him up with a sat phone. He can call directly into the show.
He's up late at night anyway, so this would be perfect timing for him. He's up at 4:16, so he'll be
usually
fine.
Speaking of reporting
information. Whoa, hello everybody.
There we go.
Welcome to the show.
The audio was fucked up beforehand.
See if that works. Maybe.
Hello.
John's good. Now it's you that I think is having problems.
Yeah, he's out completely, but that's all right. But basically, so I was going to say, speaking of reporting information that might sound well-intentioned, Cameron, I don't feel like they're saying that we're going to be sanctioning just Vladimir Putin and his television and how it works, picks up radio frequencies and things. I think that they're using that as a general phrase of sanctioning the country, just saying sanctioning Putin.
Well, we already are.
Sanctions against the government. Well, you can sanction an individual as well.
Really?
That's what I was wondering about.
Because I don't understand that. That sounds like something Cameron didn't understand. So what do you understand of that?
I just briefly looked at it to see if it was a possibility. I mean, it falls under the same things. So you can do economic sanctions, you can do military sanctions, you can do financial sanctions.
It but just how depends. Do you do that against an individual is the question.
It works along the same lines as sanctioning a government. It's just directed towards an individual. So like, I guess like in the regards of like how war crimes work, you can charge a country for the war crimes, or you can charge an individual that worked in that government for the war crime.
Okay,
that's how I understand it. I may be completely wrong, but that's just I just briefly looked at it when Cameron first mentioned it.
Right. In the brief moment that between him mentioning it and the time and now is when you did that research. So I thought the way I took it was that they were going to pose additional sanctions on Russia as a country.
They already have. They've imposed maximum possible sanctions on Russia as a country as it is. Now they asked President Biden about, you know, the sanctioning of him personally, which I guess would be a step up. So I was curious as to what that step up would be, given that we're already...
It would be a criminal sanction.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at right now. So criminal sanctions can take the form of serious punishment, such as corporal or capital punishment, incarceration, or severe fines. Obviously, in this case, it would probably be something of the latter instead of the former. Let's just make them pay some fines and call it a day. No.
It sounds to me as if this is basically just... deeming him as a criminal or deeming him as personally responsible, and it's not actually it's not actually saying like we're gonna not give Putin rice anymore or whatever.
That's what it sounds like,
right? So it just sounds more like titles that if he were to get caught or if he were to be brought to justice or whatever, that would then be
it kind of ties in with some of the treaties that the Russian government has set up with NATO and the UN and stuff like that. So breaking these treaties, sanctions fall into place, and then from that you can go through and do individual punishments towards, you know, specific leaders, because If you look at like the people of Russia, obviously the sanction isn't going to be imposed on them.
Right.
There's actually quite a bit. I don't know if you guys if you have picked up on any of this or if you've seen anything in any of your ongoings on social media or the mainstream media, but there's actually protests in Russia.
That's one of the things that we're
going
to get to.
This invasion, and people have been arrested. Like crowds of people have been detained, and I'm not just saying like 20 or 30. I'm talking hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Are being rounded up and detained and arrested and you know put in prison.
I've got some footage of it for you guys.
And so it's definitely not the people that are doing this. It's the government and more specifically Putin because he's at the head of it.
Which then answers the question as to what I was posing is the sanctions would essentially be a charge put on an individual should they be caught or whatever or tried.
Which I'm not understanding why that hasn't happened yet. Like,
yeah,
I could understand sanctions.
That's exactly
sanctions,
what the reporter was asking.
Sanctions,
and he's just like, next question.
Sanctions
no, you,
leading
you
up,
over there with the blue shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's the funny thing about all this. Now, we talked about all of these economic sanctions that are going on. However, we still need our energy. And so there was another press conference earlier today in the White House press briefing room where one of the energy secretaries, I don't exactly remember his name, but he gave an answer when a reporter asked him about, you know, is Russian energy industry sanctions off the table? But, you know, there's a very, very interesting answer to that.
So I know that Germany has withdrawn or stopped because there's a pipeline, an oil pipeline that's going from Russia, I think, either along the Polish and Ukrainian border, like splitting it for a section of it or something, but basically to where they can directly get oil from Russia instead of having it to be shipped through the country via tankers and things.
That's the unfortunate situation that Germany is in, is because they get more than 50% of most of the sectors of their energy from Russia. And so one of the things that we were going to get to in a moment was the idea that this SWIFT sanctions are not on the table. Now, SWIFT is an acronym, which is it's basically like a world banking system, and it's one of the things that, you know, enables multiple different currencies to do transactions with each other. Its headquarters is in Belgium. It's used by more than 11,000 financial institutions. It's one of the most important cogs in the world's financial system.
One of the, if not the oldest bank in the world.
Yeah, and the clip autoplayed itself. And they took SWIFT sanctions off the table for now, despite the fact that SWIFT sanctions against Russia would be like devastatingly, devastatingly crippling to Russia's economy. It would remove as much as 40% from their, you know, their general economy.
I don't know why they took that off the table.
The reason for that is because of Germany. Now, doing that would also severely impact. I saw a list out of countries that also opposed this. It was as much as Germany, Italy, a couple of other, like two or three other European countries, including Poland, I think. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that this would also somewhat cripple their economy as well. So it'll be interesting to see how this.
I don't understand. Why would you source? Never mind.
So here is the Secretary of Energy today answering a question about the potential energy sanctions that we could have on Russia.
The targeting the Russian energy industry is totally off the table. Is that what you're saying, Galit?
What I'm saying is that our measures were not designed to disrupt in any way the current flow of energy from Russia to the world. Now, we have also said we are going to cut off Russia's access to cutting-edge technology. That technology can be used across many sectors. And so as it relates to Russia's long-term productive capacity, we are seeking to degrade that capacity, but
not in the short term
as it relates to energy.
So let's go back to here's the important part here, and which leads the question, like, what the hell are these sanctions that we're imposing on Russia even doing? It sounds like what we're doing is just kind of for show.
It's a smokescreen.
Exactly. Here's the important part of the answer. I'll play it for you guys again.
What I'm saying is that our measures were not designed to disrupt in any way the current flow of energy from Russia to the world.
Then what the hell was it meant to do then? Like, that's I don't know. Something about this just seems very fake and phony to me. It's like we're trying to appear that we're doing things, but
have you guys heard of the movie Wag the Dog?
No.
So it's about you good over there, John?
Yeah.
You just crying?
Eye drops.
Oh, okay.
I got LASIK. That's a very emotional
sad
moment.
Day.
Did you hear all the soldiers that have died?
It's finally
it's
catching up with them.
Fair.
So
we're not trying to make light of this, by the way.
It was something I was talking with my mom earlier today. She was asking me or talking to me about this, which I haven't seen this movie either. But basically, it's about. Do you guys know what the phrase wag the dog or the tail of the dog wagging? What that is a euphemism for?
Oh, hold on. I have some breaking stuff as of 3 minutes ago. There are many multiple amount of loud explosions that are heard in Kyiv, the Ukraine's capital. So that missile strike that supposedly was going to happen at 3 a.m. their time and 8 p.m. our time, it seems like that has began. So we'll be following that as that continues to happen. If I can get some footage of that, it's probably not enough to interrupt our game show because that's serious business when we do that later. But, you know, I will, of course, continue to follow this. And if I've got to do another live stream tonight to go over all the stuff that is coming in, then I will do that. But I just wanted to get that out there real quick because that news is just breaking.
Are you talking about dogs wagging their tails or something?
Yeah, the meaning of wag the dog. Basically, the tail wagging the dog is an idiom for something important or powerful being controlled by something less so.
Okay.
So basically, the movie is a comedy. Basically, this like president has a sex scandal, so they bring in. A spin doctor to basically portray a war that's going on to hide something else, to hide this, to cover up this sex scandal that the president had. But she was talking to me about this, my mom, basically that this could be just like what we were saying, this smoke and mirrors to cover up something else. So there's a possibility of that, but I don't know. I don't think so.
There could always be some stuff that we're just not meant to know about. Like, for instance, the thing that worries me, one of the things that worries me the most about this is the China beginning their invasion of Taiwan, supposedly, because if we're just entering an age of conflict, then I really am not trying to be hyperbolic, but this kind of sounds like World War III stuff, fellas.
The
like,
next thing would be to keep an eye on would be North Korea after that.
Or yeah, then we can just blow them off the face of the earth really quickly.
Though. Yeah, but you also have backing of the other countries aforementioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be that easy.
No, right. It's not. They're going to have to instigate
first. You're talking
the
next. Well, definitely Russia being number two after that. I'm not sure where China falls on that list, but they have a really big army. Bigger than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
As a standing army, anyway.
Right. Right.
As far as their skill level, sure they train just like everybody else, but not quite as well as Russia or America. But even still, if those two team up, and they can cause a lot of damage, for sure.
So a couple more things that I want to go over before we wrap it up for our coverage here. Now, we'll get to some videos of the Russian citizens protesting in just a moment that, you know, there have been, as John said earlier, upwards of hundreds of them arrested. Was that Justin? It might have been.
Yeah.
Got a lot of info coming in. I'm over fucking loaded right now. But we'll get to reports of some of that in a minute. But one of the other interesting things that is another somewhat terrifying factor here is the head of Russia's space agency posted something on Twitter today. I don't know if you saw this, but it's translated into a veiled threat, something along the lines of, if the U.S. blocks cooperation with us, who will save the ISS from an uncontrolled descent out of orbit and a fall on the United States or potentially Europe? The ISS doesn't fly over Russia, so all the risks are yours. And this is from the head of Russia's space agency. So similar to the threat of, you know, nuclear warfare from earlier, that kind of veiled threat. This is another somewhat concerning communication.
It's okay. We got a space force.
space force.
Thanks, Donald Trump. Appreciate that. Chalk that one up in the win column.
So as everything is going on as well, there are citizens in Russia that are protesting all of this because, you know, similar to what goes on here, there's quite a lot of dissent between what the common people think and what the people in power, what the governmental elites do. And why wouldn't that be true over in Russia as well? This is in Pushkin Square, around less than 1,000 meters from Red Square in the Kremlin, which is the site of a significant protest here. And these are all people, by the way, and that is what makes this very significant. These are people that know the risks of challenging the regime, and they're on the street in spite of the fact that they know that this is not something that they're allowed to do over there in Russia. And I've got a couple of videos of that, too.
So this is in Russia.
This is in Russia, like feet away from the Kremlin. There's one. They seem fairly peaceful so far. But then again, they got to know that if they get rowdy, people are going to go in there and fucking obliterate them.
Does it say anywhere in the comments what they're chanting?
I'll check. It seems fairly subdued.
Say Niet, which is no in Russian.
Maybe no more war.
That's what I was thinking.
Take your guesses. You guys are putting it on no more war.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
No more war. No more fighting.
Yeah. Something about that. That sounds right. I'll go in there and check out what they're chanting. But between the Russian citizens protesting, showing that, you know, it's kind of not really all that different from the way that we feel about our government. Let's see. No translations in the comment. Okay, so it is no more war. No more war or no to war, depending on how you want to translate it. Mm. So you guys were spot on with that. So as we wrap up our coverage here, I will, of course, get to some of the other stuff. If I have to do another live stream tonight again, I will most certainly do that because I do want to stay on top of all this stuff for you guys. But now we've got to get to some very, very bad takes about this. Now, one of them, the first one, comes from, and it seems to be from a certain sect of people that are just not connected to reality in any possible capacity. Here's a user on Twitter. Here's the take, and I'm just going to shit on this take immediately, and I imagine that you guys think that this will be a quite fun take. A lot of people in Ukraine crowding together inside. Now, this refers to the earlier footage that we saw of the hordes of people that are crowded up in the subway system because they're shielding themselves from missile attacks that are going on right now. Now, here's the hot take part. Only 35% of Ukrainians have been vaccinated. Less than 2% have been boosted. So, I'm not even going to shame them their Twitter handle because, you know, I'm not going to delve into.
Can you imagine,
your
like,
level.
There's limited space in these underground shelters and subway systems, and there's just that one Karen that's just like, 6 feet. 6 feet. No, you're too close. Ma'am, we're trying to get in. No. Do you have a vaccination card, though?
I don't know how many Europeans you guys have met, but the ones that I've met, they would approach someone like that with fisticuffs or a slap to the face and to tell them to settle down, especially in a situation like this. Like, the shit has hit the fan. And most of the countries over there, especially in Eastern Europe, they have been through a lot of war.
So, yeah.
A lot.
So is this like a Twitter thing where people are saying, like, well, I can see how close these people are?
Or is this someone that's on the, like, a local from there that's saying this?
No, this is some idiot giving Twitter takes because those tend to be, like, you know, the fucking 19-year-old idiots that have not lived a real life before and just, you know, seem to have an opinion about everything despite the fact that they know nothing about it. But, yeah, that's totally the biggest concern that I'm sure that all the Ukrainians are going through right now. Not, am I going to fucking die, but, oh my God, is the person sitting next to me unvaccinated?
Good times create soft men.
And here we are. So another key, very bad take that comes from Joy Behar, because Joy Behar is, of course, one of the hosts of The View. And I saw, a kind of a funny take that said something along the lines of the boomer generation just wants to do every possible thing in its power to make sure that we hate them to their core. And Joy Behar has a very interesting reason why she's afraid of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to play it, and I will show you guys exactly how ridiculous this is.
I'm scared of what's going to happen in Western Europe, too.
Yeah.
You know, you plan a trip. You want to go there. I want to go to Italy for 4 years. No. I haven't been able to make it because of the pandemic.
Oh,
and
Joy.
This, you know, it's like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Who's going to do what?
And, you know, this guy, he's a singular sensation in a certain way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know that that he has that much support in his country, like you say. And maybe that has to be addressed.
He doesn't care.
Because we've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
He doesn't care how much support he has. He has all of the power.
But let's talk about my vacation in Venice. It's ruined.
I don't get to go to Italy anymore. I was looking forward to this for 4 years. Now.
Hey, so, it's one thing or another. First, we got a pandemic. Now I can't go to Italy and then eat pizza. What's the world coming to?
All of the spaghetti.
I don't know.
So I hate Joy Behar so much. You mentioned this just before the show started, when you had just kicked off the live stream. You kind of plugged this a little bit, and I told you that this brings back memories of a rage moment I almost had when I was on my way to Iraq, and it was along the lines of this. What is that?
I don't know. What is this? You said it's along the lines of this.
That one was for the camera.
Oh, okay. I just showed his
because I forgot to put the thingy on it.
Anyway, so I was on a military aircraft that had a legit passenger compartment above the cargo area, and there was probably about 20 or so of us, and the seating capacity I believe is like 50 or 60 in the passenger compartment. So we get from where I was stationed in Fort Bragg up to an Air Force base up in New England before flying across the pond to Europe. And so when we stop off at this Air Force base, we pick up some military dependents, i.e. officers' wives and upper enlisted dependents, wives and children, and even some retirees that still qualified to be able to go on these flights to get over there. And I had this colonel's wife, and the only reason why I knew it was a colonel's wife is because she told me to my face that she was a colonel's wife. And that
she had
I
to
was,
make sure you knew.
And that at this point, I was a lowly private, so she knew, obviously knew rank structure.
What are you going to do, fuck her?
No, ugly bitch.
Okay, I wouldn't like that.
But, how was it said? Was it just just so you know, I'm a colonel's wife?
No. It was
I'm a Pisces.
Raging Karen bitch mode. You're taking my seat type of shit.
Oh, private.
right.
I just wanted
and
to go to Italy.
One of the NCOs that was with me, I ironically had partied with just the night before, saw this interaction, and he saw something in my posture, in my demeanor change, because I got I know you've had rage. You've probably had rage to this. You just get that tunnel vision where everything else just falls away and fades away to black, and you're just focused on what you're angry at.
Yeah.
And it was just her. I was there. And I just feel this heavy hand come down, sit on my shoulder, and pull me back a little bit. And he whispers in my ear, go smoke. Here's my cigarettes. Go smoke a cigarette.
Wise choice.
And I walked away, and he... I don't know how I don't know what he said. He came and told me that he talked to me, but I went and it was only gone for about 5 minutes. I smoked 3 cigarettes in that 5 minutes.
Record time.
Oh man, I was hot. I was ready to blow the top of that bitch's face off. Just and he came back. Basically, he kind of summed up what he said. He didn't give the whole spiel, but he's like, I told her what was up. I was like, listen, on our way to Iraq, like, that was kind of rude of you. You know, we're going to defend your free or fight for your freedoms, defend your freedoms, whatever. That was kind of rude. She probably still popped off at him, and he was just like, whatever, go over there somewhere else. But yeah, that hearing that, just it just brought back those, it had a flashback. Not I wouldn't even call it PTSD, just a flashback to that moment of just like just pure rage, because you clearly don't get what the fuck's going on.
Right, the sheer density and audacity of somebody who's complaining about not being able to go to Italy now, or in this case, a woman who's just like, we're going on holiday. You in private, you sit, you're in my seat.
Right. And we were going over to Spain, which is a beautiful fucking country. That's where we landed. And where we landed in Spain was a really, really amazing place to see and visit for the day and a half that I was there. But digressing from that, let's move on.
She grew up to be Joy Behar.
Fucking
and unfortunately, fucking that is the reality of the situation that we live in. So really quick, one last blunder that I want to show you guys comes from CNN. Before we get to some footage of the explosions that are occurring right now in Ukraine, because there is some footage that's starting to break in that I'm going to show you guys. The final worst take of the war so far comes from CNN, and I don't know if I'd necessarily call this a take more so than just being absolutely obtuse. And you've got to think that you've got a program director that's in charge of what's going on your airspace at any given time. And this interruption came right smack dab in the middle of a flyover air shot of Kyiv as the air raid sirens are ringing and as explosions are happening in the background. And this flyover view from CNN is just, it's interrupted by something that, John, I think you'll be very familiar with watching football. And it's not entirely appropriate, but I will let this speak for itself. Heavy moment.
Jeez, I didn't realize it was like that.
Holy America.
Shit.
Aren't you glad you don't live in Ukraine? Aren't you glad you ain't Russian? Welcome to America.
This invasion brought to you by Applebee's.
That's just... That,
fuck.
Joe Rogan made an Instagram post today that basically said, we're living in a Coen Brothers movie. And right? that sounds about right here. So... one last thing to wrap up our coverage, and then we'll take a break and we'll have some fun for tonight, because we got to throw a little bit of that in there too. I do want to get to some footage of the missile strikes that are going on in Kyiv right now that seem to be about an hour late, because as I mentioned earlier, Russia fell a little bit behind today because they are reportedly not very happy with the level of progress that they made. They were met with much more defense than they thought they would. And so here is some footage of reported air defense system interception over Kyiv in the last 15 minutes. This comes from Elint News. And also, after we get through this, I'm going to plug some of the breaking news stuff that I've gotten some of my sources from, because I found some good and reputable stuff that, you know, if you guys want to follow along with some of this as well, then I'll give you guys some good sources for it. I'll play this
good
again.
Good awkward silence here, guys.
It doesn't look, I played the footage, but it doesn't look like there's audio.
So
there's one missile strike that's going on right in the airspace directly above the city. This is at 4:20.
Plays it
their time.
Kind of inappropriate there, John.
I was
indeed things were getting blazed.
Someone's got to do it. And here's another large missile that was intercepted by Ukrainian air defenses over Kyiv just minutes ago. This one also comes from Elint News. My God. All right, let's see this again.
You said that was minutes ago?
Yeah. This was 6 minutes ago.
Wow.
And this one was intercepted by the air defense forces. So we'll continue to follow
automation.
This.
Probably got shot out of the sky.
Yeah, and of course, the aftermath of that's got to fall somewhere. And it seems like it's falling directly into the city. So there's really no winning there. It's very fortunate that it seems like a vast majority of the civilians over there are at least taking cover. Now, unfortunately, only 25% of them are vaccinated. So, that's your loss. You got to just get the jab or else you're going to die. Or you might die in an explosion. I wonder which one's worse.
Take your pick.
Yeah. So let me plug a couple of the sources that I've gotten some of this news from. Now, the first one is from a news anchor that's actually based here in Orlando. He runs a YouTube channel called Agenda Free TV. His name is Steve Luckner. He is at Luckner on Twitter. And he's been doing like 14-hour live streams just about all day for the last couple of days. And he gets a wide variety of information that he kind of knows what's real. He'll say what's unconfirmed. And he really does kind of put or represent well the idea of agenda-free TV. He's got no partisan lines. He's pretty much just reporting the facts. Again, it is at Luckner on Twitter. He's probably live streaming right now, actually. At youtube.com/agendafreeTV. He is grinding way harder than I am. Another one, let me see what I got here. This was from, as I mentioned earlier, Elint News. It is at E-L-I-N-T News on Twitter. They're another one that has some people on the ground that are going around and they're putting out some pretty good information. Another one is, let me see if I can find this one. It is at BNO News on Twitter. They cover a lot of breaking news and around the world. They have an independent news desk as well. And they are putting out some good stuff as well. I'm also getting it from at News This Second. They've got a lot of other breaking news that's coming out too. And finally, the last one that I want to get to is the Intel Crab. It is at Intel Crab on Twitter. All of these are just, way too much NFO. You just got done watching Steve too. I've been watching Steve like all day. He's good, man. He is really good at what he does. And he's also based here in Orlando too. So, these are all some good sources that I found all of this information that we just went over the last 45 minutes from. And if you want to know more and if you want to get some good info, then I've listed a couple of them. And if you want to follow along as well, I will probably also do a live stream a little bit later as more information breaks. Of course, information breaking earlier that the strikes that were supposedly happening at 3 a.m. Their time were slightly delayed, but they seem to be going on now with reports of missile strikes that are going on over Kyiv minutes ago. So we're going to roll on with the show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some fun. We'll do our game show and we'll do Reach for the Sky. And then, probably a little bit later on, maybe in about an hour and a half to 2 hours, I will probably do another live stream where we go over some of the breaking stuff that's coming in as it comes in. So if you're just joining us and you would like to, continue on with the radio show that's not covering the live war that is going on over the last 45 minutes, then be sure to follow at Simulation Radio right here on YouTube, on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, all of that good stuff. Again, it is at Simulation Radio on everything, and I will continue to bring you some more stuff as it rolls in. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you way too much, NFO. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have the finale of our season one of Let's Play a Game Show. I've got the greatest trivia that has ever been known in radio history, the greatest game, greatest game show, greatest questions. And I'm not just saying that because I just Google searched random trivia questions and was following this story all day. But we will get to the hardcore trivia action and we will get to it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Simulation Radio. Radio.
Let's play a game show. Now we are doing our season finale of Let's Play a Game Show tonight, where we will decide the winner in the weeks-long battle to the death that has been happening between you, Johnny Horndog, and you, Justin. Now, to give an update, as to, excuse me, the current scores that we have, we made zero progress last time, so our scores remain as they have for the last 2 weeks, with Justin slightly in the lead at 40, and Johnny Horndog just barely trailing behind at 38. So it could be anybody's game still. And once again, since I was slightly disappointed with our last game, I would like to, and this may come as a shocker to you guys, I would like to award you both with 10 points right off the bat. So
take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. I don't know if this is something that you appreciate or not, but you have 10 points to start off with, and once again, we will be playing a Final Jeopardy game show format, where I have the hottest trivia questions that have ever been trivia'd in the history of all of trivia.
Didn't you say that last week?
No.
Oh.
Well, maybe. So... So we've got some categories that I will have you guys go through, and you will get to pick the category that you want to have the question in. And once again, the same rules will apply from our last Final Jeopardy, where you have to wager at least 1 point, but you cannot wager more than 5. So Johnny Horndog will start at 10, and Justin will also start at 10, and we'll keep going until, you know, we've made a decent amount
of didn't write it.
Progress here. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got 10, too. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 frequently asked questions is not a category. So 9 categories that we have got here, and we will go through all 9 of these categories, and whoever has the most total points at the end of this game will be the total grand super omega hyper champion of Let's Play a Game Show. And I'm ordering the prize tomorrow. And I need to know who the winner is to order this prize, if that gives any sort of an indicator as to what we're getting. So the winner tonight will win a special prize once we start season 2, probably at the beginning of April or whenever the time ends up working out. Then I will present the greatest game show prize in the history of all of game shows. So with that in mind, let's play a game show. And we have our 9 categories. We've got general, we've got food and drink, we've got entertainment, we have got sports trivia, kid-friendly trivia, geography, animal science, and funny. And I figure I'll have to go through these multiple times because we got a rack them off the list. So as the current point trailer, Johnny Horndog, you will get to pick first, and I have a feeling that I know which one you will pick.
Well, I only got 3 of the 9, so you have to go through each.
All right, we'll go through
again.
Them again
so I can write them down, damn it.
All right, so we got general trivia, uh-huh, food and drink, entertainment, sports. I'll go a little bit slower this time, that way you guys can write them down. Kid friendly, geography, animal science, and funny.
All right.
You guys ready to brawl?
I am.
All right, Johnny Horndog, you get to pick first.
Gonna go with geography.
Geography. And we will let me go down to the geography questions. Now, the category for, or the kind of the subcategory in this one is the Eastern Hemisphere. And it's, you could probably guess that it's geography, deals with locations on the map. So the question is, and I'm going to shorten the timer, by the way, to 20 seconds from 30. That way we can move just a little bit faster tonight. So,
Admirals, I see. No, I'm kidding.
We got to move this we haven't gotten started. Somehow,
yeah, no, you're good. We haven't gotten started yet. So,
the question, and after I turn the music up, it'll be 20 seconds.
So where do we bid our points? Before the question or after?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I forgot about that. So go ahead and bid your points now. Locations in the Eastern Hemisphere. And when you've got your point total that you are ready to wager up, then you can reveal.
I'm ready.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys can just tell me. I know for John, it's a fucking particular pain in the ass to like get the whole big board right around.
He's a big boy. He can do it.
I'm wagering 2 points.
John is wagering 2 points for this one. Justin, how many are you wagering?
One.
Justin will wager 1 point. And the question for geography, countries on the Eastern Hemisphere, which country touches the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Sea, and the Bay of Bengal? 20 seconds. Which country touches the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Sea, and the Bay of Bengal? 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, let's reveal your answers, fellas. Justin, what do you got? Justin got India. That is correct. And John also got India. You are both correct. We got right answers in Final Jeopardy tonight. All right, somebody gained some points, and it was both of you. So
I got more.
This puts John at 12 points so far and Justin at 11. So with geography out of the way, Justin, which category would you like to go
with? So there's no more questions for geography?
Nope, no more geography. Geography is out.
All right. Let's go with science.
Science, huh? Okay. So let me see. The thing is that there's multiple questions, and I've got to pick one that seems like it's kind of good. Oh, okay. All right. Here's a good one. The category to this question is teeth. Mm. So how much do you think you guys know about teeth?
Pretty.
How many points are you wagering for this one?
Okay-ishly confident. I'm going to go with 2.
Justin's going to go with 2. John, how many are you going with?
I'll also go with 2.
So they are both going with 2. And the question, how many teeth does an adult human have? 20 seconds. Looking for a number here. How many teeth does an adult human have? You're not going to start counting right now? Start getting your finger in there? Might be a little late for that. How many teeth does an adult human have?
That's kind of a trick question, but
I'm going with the answer on this quizbreaker.com trivia questions page. And I may look it up if there are any challenges.
Oh, there's definitely going to be challenges.
I know there are. From I know there will be from you, you fucking ape.
I have all less right, teeth than an ape.
5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, let's show your answers, fellas. Whose is bigger?
32.
Justin got 32. That is.
I almost did 32. Is it really?
It is 32, and John got 36.
So my contesting to that, I feel, does that, because it doesn't, does that include wisdom teeth?
I don't fucking know. It just says 32.
Right? Because
I got my wisdom teeth removed, but I'm a grown-ass adult. Most of the time. By age, anyway.
All right.
Physical age.
We have 32 adult teeth, and once our wisdom teeth are removed, 28. So, yes, adult or wisdom teeth are counted for that one, just in case. It even worked in your favor, and it was still challenged.
Yeah. Yeah, because that is what I would have, I'm going to be honest, that's what I was going to challenge on it if I got it wrong.
Okay.
At least he's consistent.
That's true. He can't even sore win.
Well, it's not being sore about it. It's just like, hey, this is kind of a trick question.
All right, who's the next? Oh, yeah, John, it's back to you to pick. By the way, quick update. We have John at back at 10 points and Justin leading at 13. And we have got 7 categories left.
Mm-hmm. Let's go with...
In the finale of Let's Play a Game Show.
Food and drink.
Food and drink. All right, I will go down to the food and drink category and look for a very fine question here. The category here is chocolate. So how much do you guys think you know about chocolate? How many points are we wagering? You guys can just come out and say it.
I'm waiting.
Oh, you're waiting. Okay, for the reveal.
I'm going to go with 3.
Right. I'll match.
John is wagering 3. Justin is also wagering 3. The question here, which country consumes the most chocolate per capita? 20 seconds.
Consumes. Per capita, though, that's like per, like
population
per person. Basin,
yeah.
Wow, with the so with that... the population ratio like accounted for.
Oh shit!
As the entire population counted as a percentage versus another country's percentage.
Right.
Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita?
That could be several.
10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And markers down, fellas. All right, what did we come up with? Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita? John, you pick the category. We'll start with your reveal.
Despite it being per capita, I'm still going with America.
America. And?
I'm going with China.
Not going to be it. China? Also not going to be it. The correct answer is Switzerland.
Switzerland?
Yeah.
Yep.
I almost said the Swiss.
You almost said it. How close were you to actually saying it?
That was my first guess because that's where a lot of chocolate is made.
Right, yeah.
But
my mind went there too.
But as far as consumption, I was like, consumerism tends to be in the Western market a little more for most things.
Overthought it, and it did not pay off. All right. We have got 6 categories left. Justin, you are picking.
Let's go with some spouts.
Spouts. All right. As I get the very, very fine list of sports questions.
Got to give John a chance here.
And try to find one that would be somewhat appropriate and not stupid. Okay. I've got a good one. And the category is beach sports.
All the beaches. Everywhere. All right. I am going to wager. Wait, what's our point update real quick?
Our point update. John is still trailing at 7. Justin with 10. Back to even.
I'm going to go 2.
Justin's going to wager 2.
I'm going to go with 4.
Ooh.
John is going to pull the big dick play with 4 points. The question, dump, floater, and wipe. Are terms used in which team sport?
Team beach sport.
20 seconds on the clock.
What were the 20?
Dump, floater, and wipe are terms used in which team sport? Dump, floater, and wipe. Not happening in the toilet. This is happening on the beach. 5, 4. 3, 2, 1, and markers down. Who picked this category? That was Justin. All right, Justin, what did you reveal?
The volleyball.
Volleyball. And it'll pay off.
Beach volleyball.
John said beach volleyball. That counts. So that is some more points. John went in for 4 and is now up to 11 total. Justin went in for 2 and is only up by 1 point now with 12. So we've got... What do we got? 5 categories left?
Yeah.
All right. John, it's your pick. What you got?
Let's go with kid friendly.
Kid friendly. Okay. Let's see. We will try to find an appropriate answer here. And
you mean question?
Question and answer, because oh my god. These are so okay. These are going to be free points. These are all like, these are all literally like kindergarten level questions. But
don't,
you know what?
Don't tease us like this.
Okay, this.
You got it.
This is the only one that I think might potentially.
What are your points, John?
So John is at 11 points. Justin is at 12. How many are you wagering,
well,
Johnny Horn?
Don't you give us a category first?
Oh yeah. So the category is nursery rhymes.
Ooh.
I'ma go. I'ma go with 8.
You can only go 5.
You can only go up to 5.
10. I guess I'm going 5.
All 11.
Fiver.
Alright, that's a fiver. Justin, how much are you doing?
I'm gonna be a little more conservative. I'm gonna go 3.
And Justin is going to go 3. So the question, the nursery rhyme question. What were Jack and Jill going up the hill to fetch? 20 seconds. What were Jack and Jill, neither of them played by Adam Sandler, going up the hill to fetch?
Too easy.
Think of the nursery rhyme. It's a children's question, for God's sake. I would hope it's pretty easy.
Can we end it now?
Yeah, just fucking let's cut it off. What were
it's
they
a
going
pail
up? A pail of water. That's what we got. That's loud as fuck. Pail of water. All right. Good work, fellas. That'll put Justin, who it did not pay off for him playing conservatively, at 15. And John will take the lead temporarily, or maybe permanently, at 16. So he is up 1. And we have 4 questions left?
Yeah, 4. I'm going to go with funny.
All right, funny. Let's see what we got here. Again, have to scroll slightly and try to pick an appropriate question that is not too easy and that could also be somewhat appropriate. And I think this one's gonna throw you off a little bit. I don't think any of you guys will get this one. So I say that, and then you guys will both wager 1 point. All right, so this one is weirdo laws. You know how there's weird laws in various states?
Sure.
All right, so we got weirdo laws for this one. How many points are you wagering, Justin?
I'll do 4.
Oh, Justin's going to go 4, trying to catch him back up.
I'm going to go 2.
And John is going to wager 2. The question, in the state of Georgia, what food is it illegal to eat with a fork? And I'll give you a hint, it's a southern food. In the state of Georgia, what is it illegal to eat with a fork? Technically, that's not stopping people from doing it.
Huh.
10 seconds. Five, 4, 3, 2, 1, and markers down, fellas. Who picked this one?
Me.
All right, Justin, what do you got?
I'm gonna say meat with bones.
Meat with bones.
I don't know if that's not sound like a southern kind of thing.
I don't know. The answer is fried chicken, so I don't know if that... I think that counts. I honestly think meat with bones counts.
But it's specifically fried chicken, isn't it?
This one's tough, man. John, what did you put? He's definitely wrong. Meat with bone. First of all, what kind of meat were you thinking of? Were you really just trying to be generalist or just meat with bone? Because I don't know, man.
Well,
I'm kind of
okay.
This
so
one.
Like,
the thing is, like,
this is something that I was taught was if it has bones, it's a finger food. So, and that's just generalized. So, like, something like, if it's, like, a chicken cutlet, technically you're supposed to eat that with a knife and a fork because it doesn't have a bone. Mm-hmm. Or if it's, like, a chicken nugget, technically, granted, yes, fast food has changed that, but technically you're supposed to stab that
and dip it and then eat it.
And my only counter argument is that, is it illegal to eat a T-bone steak with a fork? I don't, you know what I mean? That's still meat with bones.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? I feel like this was a very, very tricky question. I felt like it required a very specific answer. Because you wouldn't go to jail if you...
Well, I mean, they're not going to arrest you necessarily. Right, yeah. Just maybe be fine for something like that. But
see, until John gave me that rationale, I was actually willing to, I was leaning towards the side of giving and counting the fried chicken, because my rationale was, I feel like this is something that like Jeopardy or Family Feud would count as a correct answer. But in the spirit of the question, hearing John's rationale, I'm more inclined to.
I was like, a peach. Why? Because why would anyone do that? First off, that's like sacrilege. It was in Georgia.
Have you not had peach cobbler?
Spoon. Just can't use a fork.
So as an update, we have got John back down to 14 and Justin back down to 11. But we still have three more to go. So it is anybody's game. Three questions is quite a lot of game to be played still. So John, it's your pick now, isn't it?
It is, and I'm going to go with animals.
Animals, huh? Animals are cute. We have two animals in the house now, which I'm still a little bit uncomfortable changing in front of, even though I know they're cats.
I don't know what the deal is, man. One of them comes up here, it sits in my chair all the time, and I'm still like, I got to shoo her out of here so that I can put clothes on when I get out of the shower. There's something.
Did you grow up with animals?
We only grew up with animals in very small increments of time. We would have like a 1 year period where we had an animal, and then we just didn't have an animal anymore. And then a couple years later,
what happened to these animals? We gotta pause the show real quick. What's going on?
That's a different story. You know, we'll go over that on the Patreon show when we record that early next week, probably on Monday. All right, so animals, we have to go to, of course, the greatest animal question that is known to mankind, and I'm looking for
what
such
came first,
animal
the
question.
Chicken or the egg?
Looking for such associated animal question that would hypothetically be the greatest animal question of all time. And all right, I think I found it. And the category here is loud animals. So loud animals. So how much are you guys wagering on loud animals?
I'm going to wager 3 points.
John's going 3.
I'm going to go 5.
Justin is going 5 on this one. What is the loudest animal on Earth? 20 seconds. Justin, snap, reached for that marker. Which animal is the loudest animal on Earth? This seems like a fairly easy one. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. So,
I got howler monkey.
Howler monkey.
The sperm whale.
The sperm whale will do it for 5. So Justin's at 16. John is back down to 11, but we still have 2 questions left.
It's almost like our score's flipped.
I know. See, what did I say? With 3 questions, and we still got 2 of them left. We still have plenty
right,
of game
left.
Holy
shit. Ooh, yikes.
Hello, studio.
Hi.
Easy, baby. Easy, baby.
Make it through. Make it through. Hold on.
Here, I'll do that. Good thing we still have music playing.
Still not.
Snap, crackle,
apologies,
pop.
Everybody. Technical difficulties.
Okay.
Try it now.
Sick.
Hello.
Okay, we're back.
My headphones aren't, but that's fine.
I can hear you.
If you can hear me, that's fine. If it's recording, we're good. Let's run it.
This close to losing it. All right, who's next?
I picked the category last, so it's now back to Justin.
Justin, we've got 2 categories left. Which one of them are you going with? I believe we have entertainment and...
Let's go with entertainment.
Entertainment and general. All right, so with entertainment, of course, we scroll down to the entertainment category and attempt to find the latest and greatest entertainment question in trivia history. All right, I found it. The category here, Disney movies.
Oh boy.
In entertainment. So how much are you guys wagering for a Disney movie?
I'm going to go. What am I at? 16?
You're at 16. John is at 11 for the point update.
I'm going to go 3.
Justin's going to wager 3. Keep it safe.
5.
John's going to go big or go home. And the question is, what was the first feature-length animated movie ever released? And the hint here was that it was a Disney movie. First feature-length animated movie ever released. Very first one. I've seen a lot of animated features in my life. None of them have been the very first one. I've been first on a lot of things in my life. I am, after all, the greatest thing that has ever happened.
First feature-length
animated movie ever released. And it was a Disney movie. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and pencils down, fellas. Who picked that one? That was you. All right, what'd you get?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Do it. I almost said that one. I went with Sleeping Beauty.
I was torn between that one or Snow White.
Not Sleeping Beauty. So, the 5 points didn't pay off for John. So he is going to be down to 6, and Justin will be up to 19 points with one question remaining in Let's Play a Game Show. And it's the general trivia question. It is one of the most general in all of trivia. It could be anything. It could be animals. It could be any possible thing that has ever existed in the known universe. And we now pick one of those general questions that could be the greatest questions in the known universe. And wow, these are all so stupid. Wow, these are all terrible. Okay, all right, I think I got the one. The category.
Wait, question.
Yes.
And if you want to do this, would you be willing to allow him to bet all of his points to be able to come close?
Oh, of course. Yeah,
you, I don't
look,
even know that,
you,
that makes a difference.
You've got 6. If you want to put all 6 of them
match
on the line.
So if I lose, well, yeah, if I get it wrong, I lose 6, which would put me back down to 13. Actually, that wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't, but
no,
you
really
know,
won't.
I'll do plus 1.
All right. Justin's only going with 1.
Let's go for it all.
Plus 1? 6? I'll do 7.
Oh, so Justin's going to do 7. Are you, you know what, for the final question in
so
Final
that would
Jeopardy,
bring us, that would bring us to a tie, right?
You guys can wager as many questions, as many answers, fuck, as many points.
I'm going to give all the answers.
Man, look, people, I've been looking at Ukraine news all fucking day. My brain is kind of fried at this point. You, points,
so
points,
I will,
points.
I will do... Points. So he's doing all of his points, and I'm going to do 7. That way, worst case scenario, we tie. And then the score doesn't change.
Which would mean I still win. Would be a valid valid one. All right, so the I didn't even tell you guys the category, and you still picked your points. So the category is...
It's make or break time right now. Either we're going to make it or not.
The category...
It's already broken, bro.
Is... Valentine's Day. Sick. Valentine's Day history in particular.
Ooh.
So actually, you know, you guys already wagered your points. So here's the question. Which monarch officially made Valentine's Day a holiday in 1537, the great year? Which monarch officially made Valentine's Day a holiday in 1537? How is you guys' Valentine's Day history?
Nah, I don't. That's probably one of the only little factoids that I don't know.
Are you super familiar with Valentine's Day history?
I've
done a lot of research on it.
Familiar with it.
Which monarch officially made Valentine's Day a holiday in 1537? 5, 4.
My marker's down. His is down.
3, 2, 1. And that will conclude Let's Play a Game Show. What answers did you guys get, fellas?
What you got, John?
King Louis XIII.
King...
That was France and the Revolution, my guy. Yep. That was in like the late 17th.
King Louis.
Or 1800s.
But yes. Like, King Louis the 13th.
King Henry the 2nd.
The
first King
you're
Henry
so
the first.
Close. It's King Henry the 8th.
Oh, the 8th.
The 8th.
That's all right.
So that will put Justin at 12 points, and that will put John at how many did he
zero.
Wager?
Yeah, oh,
and that will
zero.
Put John at 0. So we recap our scores for season 1 of Let's Play a Game Show. We have got to conclude it all. Justin winning on the season at 52 points, and John just ever so slightly behind him still with a whopping value that did not change today at 38 points.
I'm going to change my score on the board.
You are allowed to go change your score on the board, and you can also circle it too, because or do whatever kind of decoration you want to it. In fact, I'll change the camera shot too, so that we can see the studio ghost that, you know, tried to feel my dick that one night, and he'll get to witness the changing of the scores and the changing of the guard. So Justin's at 52, John is at 38, so Justin is the winner of season 1 of Let's Play a Game Show.
I hope I get paid in gum. Not really, though. Please don't give me that as a prize.
No, it's not the prize. So now that I know who wins, I can go on Etsy and specifically order the thing that will be the quote-unquote trophy for this edition of Let's Play a Game Show. So before we get to the end of the show, I want to give a couple of updates, which is that we will probably be going without the game show segment for the next month, because we have a reason for that, which is that John's taking the month off to go and see his family for March. So we're going to be holding down the fort here for a few weeks at least. And of course, I'm not going to play the game show and just let Justin just rack up all the points while you're gone.
I would get 69 points and then stop.
That would be somewhat cruel and unusual. I'm not going to say completely cruel and unusual. It would only be somewhat cruel and unusual. So I will opt not to do that. So we've got that coming up. Also, we are going to be recording our Patreon show more than likely Monday night, the 28th, because it's been a heavy news day. And I've got to do another live stream later of all of the Ukraine stuff. And I've got 2 hours of shit to fill. And I'm not going to lie, I have zero fucking idea what we're going to do for 2 hours for the Patreon show. Look, I had an interview lined up. I had some stuff lined up, but they all kind of fell through. And so now I'm going to take the weekend to just kind of rack it through my brain as to what we're going to spend 2 fucking hours doing on the Patreon show. So keep in mind, if you are a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/simulationradio, then I love you. I will do my best to go on, maybe if I have some time tomorrow during the day, and, you know, clean up the Patreon stuff a little bit and get you guys some more content, and maybe finish up the archives too, because I still got some outstanding archive shows to get up there too. So we'll be doing that more than likely on Monday if we can make it work. Otherwise, we will find we'll do an extra big one in March, but I'm still hopeful that we can find a way to do it sometime in the next couple of days. It just doesn't work out because we're all going to something tomorrow. Saturday I'm going to be gone. Sunday I'm going to be gone too most of the day, and then at night I've got a Discord phone call that I've got to make. And so Monday is pretty much the only day that we have until John leaves to get the Patreon show done. Plus, it'll give us enough time to kind of plan something out, because we're going to be here for 2 hours, and again, still have no fucking idea what we're going to do. So with that in mind, let's close out the show and do a little bit of Reach for the Sky, fellas.
Oh, no, not my ship. Somebody do something.
Reach for the Sky.
Oh, no, Sheriff Woody.
So, of course, we do close out every other show by doing Reach for the Sky, where we go to what formerly was randomquestionmaker.com, but has since been retired because I blew through every single one of the questions on randomquestionmaker.com on Simulation Radio Live when we had it there. So instead,
That's not a whole lot of questions if it's a random question.
It was a lot. And back when I was doing it three times a week, too, like I burned through a lot of them. And it got to a point where, because how it would work is I would click on one of the categories and then like press refresh a few times. And then every once in a while, the same questions would like start popping in and out and recycling themselves. And
sounds to me like that algorithm needs work.
It does. It does need a little bit of work. I mean, I think that the algorithm is going to pop up and control us all one day, but they can't even figure out how to ask me a damn question. They can't understand humanity if they can't do that.
But they have real-life simulators. It's great.
They figure that out, but they can't figure out how to ask me a damn question. So nowadays, we go to randomwordgenerator.com, where they even have more detailed questions that I think we would enjoy even more. So I think this one's going to be interesting. What do you do in secret that you're proud of? So I don't know. Now, there's an obvious answer to this, which is the okay, so
in
there,
the moment, so but there was afterwards, this one, so much shame.
So there was this one time I got it on the ceiling.
More than one time.
Oh yeah. There was one time I was able to, you know, do the whole backwards curl and get it all in there in the I'll stop there. I was able to curl my back enough to and it I'm not saying what that means. I'm pleading the fifth on that one. So,
oh, the implication's already there, my friend.
No, it's not. That can mean anything.
Yeah.
So other than that, you know, other than the obvious thing, is there anything else that you do in secret that you're proud of? Because clearly your mind goes to a very dirty and rancid place when, you know, something in secret that you're proud of, because that sparks some kind of like, bro, yeah, that's right, I did that. But maybe there could be something real there too that could be a thing you're proud of. Maybe it's like something inspirational or some kind of habit that you have. So personally, what I've started doing in like basically in the confines of my own personal space that I'm proud of that's kind of helped me mentally a little bit is I've started like actually meditating. Like I'll take some time, I'll take about maybe 10 to 15 minutes a day, and it's not the stereotypical like sit down and do the crisscross applesauce and do the
well, it's a type of meditation.
It is a type, of course. But what I'll do is like sometimes I'll sit at my sit on the couch or just sit at the computer chair at work, and I'll just like stop what I'm doing and just kind of close my eyes and like just breathe for a few minutes and try to like empty my mind and just concentrate a little bit
for a few minutes.
Because I don't know, these last couple of weeks, I've been starting to get a little bit more like stressed out again about stupid shit. So I'm trying to get that under control before it starts to get to a worse place. And one of the things that helps me too, by the way, is this might be an easy thing for you to focus on if you're trying to do it. If you're trying to get to a point where you can actually like close your eyes and literally think about nothing and empty your brain. You know how when you close your eyes, there's like this line, like right across your, like right in the center of your field of vision where your nose is supposed to be. This sounds really weird and this sounds kind of stupid as fuck, but I'll close my eyes and I'll just like focus on that stupid little line that goes down the middle of your eye set. And for some reason that makes it easier because it gives you something to focus on without having to like actively and consciously think about focusing on it, and you're not really seeing it. So I don't know. And honestly, it's helped a lot. Like the only stupid thing that I really get mad at now lately that I've had like really, really bad frustration issues with since doing this is the studio. Like for some reason, the studio is like a girlfriend. It knows how to push my buttons exactly. And
well, yeah, I mean, you sit here and you push its buttons all day, so.
Right, so naturally. I guess the studio knows how to push mine too. But other than that, about most other like stupid little things that I would usually get mad at, it doesn't really faze me as much anymore. But the studio, though, man, the studio, though, just fucking pisses me off like no other still.
So did you come up with the focusing on the bridge of your nose
by yourself, or did you read it somewhere?
I actually came up with that by myself. That's not a strategy that I read. Now, I don't know if that's actually a common strategy that people use, but I was trying a lot of stuff. I was trying to like focus on breathing. That didn't really work out because I would still find like little thoughts here and there creeping into my head. But then I just closed my eyes and I just kind of noticed. I just noticed the shape, man, and the shape like kind of captivated me because maybe I have a simple pea brain like that where, ooh, shape, cool shape, and that seemed to do it.
And that's actually a common practice, not necessarily like the focusing on the shape of your nose. When meditating, it's actually okay for like thoughts to kind of drift in and out of your consciousness because that's actually the process of meditation. That's a natural part of it. But a lot of times there's this like hypnotist that would do like seminars and motivational speaking. And my dad brought me to him one time, but in his like content during meditation sessions, he'll have you focus on various parts of your body. Like he'll say in like a deep voice, he'll say, focus on your broad shoulders and the material underneath your fingertips as you breathe deeply. And just having those external things that aren't really like things in motion. It's a static thing that doesn't really trigger thought. It doesn't like trigger an emotional thought, but it's still there. It's still a real static, real thing to focus on. That's actually a technique that is used by world famous hypnotists and meditators.
It's funny you mention that because my therapist in high school gave me this CD that had like relaxing sounds in the background, but it was kind of like a hypnosis meditation type CD. Yeah. And that was the thing that it caused you to focus on. It was like a focus. And I don't know why I remember the focus on the tips of your fingers, particularly more so than the other things, because I just thought that one was weirder than all the other ones. The other one seemed like just fairly common body parts you would focus on, but the weird one, like focus on the tip of your fingers, that's not really a common thing that you do all the time. And so maybe the effort that you spend like actually focusing on that kind of helps you channel that into either focusing on other things or maybe helping you along the process. So I don't know, it's interesting, and that kind of stuck with me too. So I don't know, do you got anything that you're secretly proud of, Justin? Besides the thing,
I mean, there's not really anything that I guess.
Well, maybe I'll jump in real quick, and you tell me if this counts, because it is something that I do in secret in my own head that does have an external intrinsic kind of value and that is observable that way. So you tell me if this counts or not. But I'm always very proud of the way that I'm able to try to put myself in other people's like shoes and other people's situations, or try to be cognizant of how I'm affecting other people positively or negatively. And so I always make it a point where like I was just driving by this young woman who was like dressed in like very, very, what do I want to say? She had like boots that were up to her knees, but she had this like skirt. She almost looked like she was like going to somewhere, right?
Going to the valley.
I don't know if it was like to a Comic-Con convention or going to like a goth party. I don't know, but her outfit was like was amazing.
She was making a road trip back to Silicon Valley,
and so I made it a point to be like, if I was looking like the way that she was right now, and I put that much thought into my outfit, how would I want to be like received? And so I was just driving, and I was like, the light turned green. She was sitting at the corner. I rolled down my window as I was passing. I was like, you look fucking amazing, and just kept driving. Like, she smiled or whatever. So, like, something I do in secret that I'm proud of is I'm very conscious of my how I can make someone's life better or worse, and then adjust my actions accordingly. Does that count, you think?
I think that does count. The interesting thing that I think about with that is that, and you've talked about how you're one of the types of people too that like just doesn't really give a fuck about what other people think of them. Do you think that those two things could possibly like overlap with each other, where, you know, being conscious of other people's like walk of life, as you could say, do you think there's a possibility of that ever bleeding over into the different kind of brain mode where you're like, okay, well, maybe what do they think about me, or how does that affect their judgment of me? Or are those like two separate kind of categories in terms of how you think about them?
That's actually a really interesting question, and I think I would answer it by saying this. It's almost two completely different mindsets. One is a very selfish and introspective kind of me kind of mindset. And then the other one is the complete opposite, where it's very like selfless. And so tell me if I'm answering your question correctly, but you can be the type of person yourself to, like, I don't care who anybody thinks about me, but if someone still pays you a compliment on something that you're proud of, that maybe you didn't know that other people actually recognized and realized, or people even saw, like, even if you are that type of person who might not really normally take criticisms or like block out the haters or whatever,
yeah,
you would still kind of feel a certain kind of happiness if somebody were to show you that love, or show you that the point out something that most people don't go out of their way to bring to the forefront.
The reason that I ask that is because I feel like that would be an easy thing for, and this is going to sound really bad and judgmental, but like people of maybe a lesser cognitive function to like conflate a little bit. And so that could be an area where I think that like when people are thinking about their interactions with other people and kind of where their place in the whole social meta is, I feel like that kind of dynamic could be a thing that fucks with a lot of people that don't really think about it appropriately.
Let me ask you something. Were you asking if somebody might take this tactic or strategy, but solely with the purpose of raising their own kind of like social standard, look at me, I recognize
you. Yeah, that could be an application of that. And some people, I think, would think of it that way.
And I feel like a lot of people might, in that they might make their decisions on how they approach other people with the way how it might affect how other people view them. But it's an interesting kind of conundrum, because I feel as if that is your purpose and that is what your goal is, it's actually very easily detected and comes across as either being fake,
yeah,
or it comes across as being disingenuous, or you did that for yourself, not for me, and now I don't appreciate it. And if anything, I might even think lesser of you as a result, and it does the opposite impact. Whereas if you are taking the other approach, and regardless of how you're having a genuine compliment, you're having a genuine statement about something that you actually truly appreciate, genuinity, is that a word? Being genuine in that regard.
There is a word, but I don't know.
Being genuine in that regard comes across much, it's perceived much better by the person, whether or not you're actually trying to make them like you more. They just might naturally will, regardless if that was your goal. Whereas if you had the pure goal of to make someone else view you in a different light, they might actually take it the wrong way, because they could see that you're trying, that you're gaming the system in a way.
It's the vibes, man. People pick up on those vibes.
It's a real thing.
So as we wrap up the show, I want to remind everybody that, first of all, thank you all for subscribing, following, liking. I love you all. You are all fantastically sexy. You have the hugest dicks and the largest tits. And I would like to remind you, excuse me, if you are listening to the podcast or the YouTube recording of the show, then you are always free, and I wholeheartedly invite you to come and join us live every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern. We stream the live shows on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook at youtube.com/simulationradio, facebook.com/simulationradio, and twitch.tv/simulationradio. Again, I will be probably, more than likely, especially if more news breaks a little bit later, probably doing a live stream after I get all the show's editing work done, as to some more of the news that's coming in about Ukraine. We had a pretty long and pretty good discussion on that earlier tonight, including going over some of the news that has broken over the past 24 hours. So I imagine that, especially if I promote that as the main part of the show, that will be a particular point of interest for those that are looking to follow along with that. Stay tuned. We have got a lot of very cool and fun stuff coming up, And I look forward to hearing from every single one of you. If you would like to follow the socials, primarily Instagram is the thing that I would promote at the moment. It is at Simulation Radio on Instagram. And similar to the live stream on Facebook, there is also content on that very same Facebook at facebook.com/Simulation Radio. And I think that that will just about wrap it up for tonight, fellas. Love you all. Stay sexy. And see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is?